Welcome back, everyone, to the podcast. And as you guys know, we are in 12 days of prayer and fasting as we are pressing into experiencing more of the presence of God in our everyday lives as a whole church family, as an entire faith community. Whether you're in Perth, Australia, Bangkok, Thailand, San Francisco, Adelaide, Sunshine Coast, whether you are here in Melbourne with Pastor Joe and I, or maybe you're a university student, maybe you are homeschooling your children, maybe you are a project team leader in a banking sector, no matter where you are or what it is that you find yourself doing, we are all looking to answer the question, how am I growing in an awareness of His presence during these 12 days? And on this podcast, each day we are chatting with different people in our church community to hear the testimony of their lives as to how they have grown in an awareness of the presence of God. And today I have already given away who is joining us. Pastor Joe Samuel, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me here. And welcome to everyone listening, even from Antarctica or Hobart, which is closer to Antarctica.
Yes, you've just recently come back from Japan. So
yes, konnichiwa.
Konnichiwa to all our Japan listeners.
Yes.
Well, Pastor Joe, I'm excited to have you on because not only are you someone who carries, I feel like, the Father's heart of God in our church, but someone who carries the presence of God, I think, in such a beautiful and unique way. So let's jump right in, if that's okay with you.
Let's go.
Awesome. So the first question that I'm loving asking and hearing people's testimony about is how, or can you share with us, or do you remember the first time that you became aware of the manifest presence of God?
Awesome. Great question. I love speaking about a little bit of history. I think it would be the year 1992.
That was a good year.
Yeah, it was a great year. I was 6 years old. Now you know how old I am. I was 6 years old. It was in the city of Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. And my parents could not. So one of the things for listeners, just to give you a context, Saudi Arabia had gender segregated schools. So the boys' school would be in the afternoon till evening, till late evening.
Yeah.
And the girls' school would be in the morning. So what that meant is, being the only child and the male, I had to wait till about 1 p.m. for my school to start. And my parents could not afford a babysitter or someone to look after me. So I would be home alone. I was home alone every day for a long period of time. So I think it was, I remember this very well, the year 92. I remember our first apartment. I remember the balcony of that apartment. I would stand there and just watch airplanes take off and land from the nearby, the Air Force Base. And I just fell in love with aviation. But those were our hours and hours of just standing and just imagining. I mean, unlike kids today, I didn't have Nintendo or digital. I didn't have any devices. So I would just stand there for hours on an end on that balcony and just looking into the clouds or the skies. And I remember very powerfully the manifest presence of God. And it would feel like someone is standing next to you.
Wow.
And you would have goosebumps all over your body. You would begin to, there was a recognition in my spirit, because the spirit man doesn't form when you turn 18. You are born with the spirit man alive and active. So whether you are a child, Samuel, you can hear the presence, you can hear and acknowledge the presence of God. Whether you are 60 years old, you can sense the presence, the manifest presence of God, and acknowledge it. The key to recognizing that is acknowledgement and an awareness. You could be a Moses who had no background, but have that curiosity. I must draw near and see what is happening around here. And you can hear the voice of God and feel. Yeah, 6 years old.
Saudi Arabia.
In Saudi Arabia.
Watching planes go by.
Yep, standing there. And this was not just one day. This happened for a long period of time. And I just didn't know what it was, but it was. I would be drawn to that place every single day. Yes, it was entertaining to watch airplanes and the city go by, but I was drawn to this place of encounter daily. And So that's the first time.
It's so powerful because we've heard so many different testimonies from people, and each one is as diverse as the person that I've talked to.
Which that's right.
Is just the beauty of the Lord in display. You know, He's never turns up in one way the same way. Mm-hmm. It's He is as vast and different as we are vast and
that's
different.
Right.
And everybody's, I guess, testimony of what that's been like for them is been so unique, and it just is such a picture of the beauty of Jesus. So thank you for sharing that. That's amazing. I guess as you've journeyed on life, have there been moments of, I don't know, for a better word, we could say breakthrough, or moments of revelation that have moved you to a place of encountering the presence of the Lord to different depths and measures?
Yep. So I would, if I could put X marks the spot on a calendar date, it would be sometime in August 2004, approximately 20 years ago, where I was in a in a bad mess. I was in a really bad place. I had walked away from church. I was now living outside the security and the comfort of my parents around me. I was living alone, you know, single and just wild and free.
More wild, less free.
Yeah. Freedom was a responsibility, was not a culture value I prescribed to at that point. So in the middle of that, felt deep, dark thoughts, was spiraling out of control, point of self-harm, and just wanted to kind of throw away my life. Mm-hmm. And if there's anyone listening to this and you feel like you're in that place, as deep and as dark as that place is, darkness is often the strongest before dawn, before the first ray of light. So I just want to encourage you, I want you to pay attention to what I'm about to say, because this might really help you. So I was in that spot 20 years ago, August 2004, feeling like my life is worthless, and I was hearing the enemy whisper into my ears, like, if you died today, nobody would even wink. So it's in that point of desperation, I cried out to God and I said, God, if you're real, I want you to reveal yourself to me. And you've got 24 hours to do this, God. So kind of put this really desperate cry out there. Wow. And I remember that night, I had a very powerful God encounter. And my mom used to pray, whether you invited my mom to pray for the meal or for prayer in church, she would begin all of her prayers with, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, God of my fathers and my father. That's how my mum would begin all of her prayers. Didn't know why.
Yeah.
And I used to ridicule and mock her when I was 16 and 17 and 18, thinking this is all, you know, ritualistic. Religious murmurings, right?
Yeah.
But that night, I had a deep revelation, and I felt frozen in bed.
Wow.
I had all of my sweat glands on overdrive, just pouring sweat out. I was frozen in bed, and I could sense there was a presence in my room. There was a glow, and I heard these words, clear as day, saying, I am the God of Abraham. I'm the God of Isaac. I'm the God of Jacob. I'm the God of your fathers, and I am your God. That line set me on a trajectory of, the next morning, I went to three churches. I went to the Catholic church, I went to a Baptist church, and that night I was at a Bible study at a Pentecostal church. I was that desperate, and that encounter has been the breakthrough encounter or moment of revelation that has set me on a trajectory of who I am today.
It's so interesting when you talk about, the presence of the Lord, and that there was a physical response in your body to the presence of the Lord.
Yes.
That there was not just that, but a complete change in mindset, like a complete, almost like your mind changed in response to the presence.
Yeah, and if I wasn't still, I would have run out of that room because it was scary. It would have been scary to my flesh.
Yeah.
But the Lord had to, in His mercy, kind of sedate me before He could, you know, speak to me.
Yeah.
That was my response. Yeah. So I just lay there, heard that, just bawled my eyes out, just surrendered my heart to Jesus, and I couldn't wait for sunrise. I was off to whatever church I could find nearest to me.
hunger. It sounds like hunger.
That's it. That's it.
I think that's true too. When we, the more we encounter God, the more we encounter His presence, I feel like the hungrier you get for more.
That's it.
It's like the more you eat, the hungrier you get.
That's it.
With the Lord.
That's it.
So good. So obviously that was 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward a little bit. You now look over all of our pastoral ministry. Pastor Joe, you're on our leadership team here at NUMA. And I guess developing and cultivating, we've been using that word a lot, cultivating the awareness of the presence of God in everyday life. I think sometimes people think when your full-time job is a ministry job, mm-hmm. that like you just float around in the river and every moment is a moment of experiencing the presence of God, I think it's a lot like any other roles that unless we posture ourselves in a position
yep.
for that, that can easily not be the position. So how, I guess, in your, you know, fast forward those years and even now, how does it look like in your life as a dad of two beautiful girls, as a husband, as a pastor, as all the things, what does it look like in your life at the moment to become more aware of the presence of God, to cultivate that in your life?
And in my family? Is that what you're...
yeah.
Well, I understand. I think I'm trying to put myself at a junction in the road, a crossroad, a fork in the road. Okay. One of the greatest challenges I've had with the word, with these words, Father in heaven, mm-hmm. is because the word Father was somehow, I had a misconception about it. Mm-hmm. Because my experiences of the word Father were not in alignment with the characteristics of the Father in heaven that the Bible talks about, and that which was the mission of Jesus to reveal.
Yeah.
So when James tells Jesus, can you give us a sneak peek of who this Father in heaven is? He says, well, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Yes.
So what the beauty of Jesus's ministry is, because he lived a life very congruent of the Father in heaven here on earth, it gave humanity a glimpse and an accurate picture of what the Father in heaven is. So applying that principle, here I am walking on earth for how many ever decades. I have an assignment. I might have kids and grandkids and even spiritual kids who I get to shape and give this little reflection, like the moon reflects the sun at night to the dark side of the world. We get to reflect this Father in heaven in very limited ways. I mean, we can't be all things to all people. We can't do it to the level of perfection. But we get to be either a stepping stone. We get to be a stepping stone. Now, if we don't, we will become a stumbling block for people experiencing, and they will get triggered or tripped up in this word Father. So my first assignment as an earthly father, yes, it is to provide and care and nurture and protect and look after my kids and all of that stuff. But my main priority, why God has trusted me with these lives, is that I, despite my flaws and my limitations, try to reflect and create this conduit for these kids, both natural and spiritual, a portal through which they can see this Father in heaven. So the way I conduct my words, my actions, my choices, my love for them, my sacrifice, and all of this will become a door that through which they can experience the real Father in heaven, the perfect one. Through the imperfect, you reveal the perfect. Through the limited, you reveal the unlimited. Through the finite, you open the door for the infinite. So that's my assignment, and I believe that's my ministry, first to my family and then to God's family here at NUMA Church and wherever I'm called to.
I think that's beautiful. I think that when we talk about the presence of God, almost like the glory of God, there is so much when we experience His presence that we experience of Him.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's, you know, one time it can be His goodness, another time it can be His healing power, another time it can be restoration of our heart, can be redemption, can be revelation and truth where there's been lies. And I think when you're talking about, I guess, being a mirror, like you're saying, in the, like Jesus was a mirror to the Father, that we would be also reflective of Jesus and of the heart of God.
That's it.
We, I guess, in those actions, when you're talking about words or deeds, or just even, I guess, the gift of empathy and being, you know, with someone, even if there's really, you know, sometimes they're in situations, especially in pastoral ministry, it's like, what do you even say? You know, there's, it's just the being presence of someone else.
That's it.
That is all, I guess, carrying the presence of God. Like, we have the honor and the great privilege in our own brokenness and humanity, as you were saying, to carry the presence of God into the lives of one another.
Yes. When God says to Abraham, through you, all nations and every person here on earth will be blessed, you actually begin to see the characteristic of God beginning to take shape in this man who was once a carver, once who used to carve idols for a living and for business. And you begin to see later on in his life, he's willing to sacrifice his own son so that he might continue to be a conductor of God's greatness towards earth. And just like God called Abraham those thousands of years ago, God is calling every man and woman and child on planet earth today to be a conductor and to be a carrier of that same nature, where we put the kingdom of God, prioritize the kingdom of God, where we prioritize the presence of God daily in our lives.
Yeah.
And in doing so, others, you know, we none of us have ever met Abraham. We don't know what he looks like. But every believer has now been attached and grafted to the family of Abraham because of what Jesus did. So my encouragement to everything, myself and to those who are listening, is that do not underestimate the power of heaven. We are talking about the presence of God. We are not talking about a limited force. We are talking something that has unlimited power, unlimited potential, unlimited greatness, that God wants to partner with human beings, limited people, simple human beings. But when he partnered with a barren woman or a barren man or an old man, it has changed the course of history. So we must not only pay mental assent to this just by listening to this, but even after listening to this, my invitation to everybody listening to this would be, ask the Holy Spirit today as I drive to work, as I'm in my office, as I go to university, or even if I'm a stay-at-home mum or a single dad, whatever circumstance you find yourself in, how can this unlimited, unbridled power of the Holy Spirit, the power of heaven, the power that raised Jesus from the grave, the power that created everything to life, how can it partner with my limitation and my small being to unleash the power of heaven to earth?
So good, Joe. I love that. And I love that you're talking about everyday life, because that's where it happens, right? Like, we can, we was talking to Pastor Joel about, you know, worship and the power of worship and interacting with the presence of, like, encountering the presence of God in and through different worship, I guess, postures.
Yes.
Which our life is. So in your life, at home, with your family, are there things that you and your wife, Blessy, I guess, prioritize as a family to acknowledge the presence of God, and even, I guess, like, disciple your girls in an awareness of his presence?
Yes. We've been blessed with two beautiful girls. They're very intelligent. Thank goodness they take after their mum in that area. But I feel that today's generation is so well informed. They have information. They are so saturated with information, like, my goodness me, the kind of vocabulary they use or the kind of questions they ask. I never asked those kind of questions when I was 10 years old or 12 years old. But my kids are asking me these questions, and I believe there is an activation of their hunger, and the size of the dinner plate has doubled. If you know what I mean, it's about the size of their heart. Their ability to comprehend and grasp information is really big. So my encouragement to parents, personally, what we do is we talk about God in all circumstances. God is not a bucket or we assign to certain things of our life. Do not assign God as something that you activate before bedtime, before they close their eyes. Don't activate God as this deity that you activate before they run to school. God should be front and center of your kids' lives. When they have difficult encounters with other kids in school and they come home and they complain or they want to debrief with you, put God in the center of that. Put God at the center of parenting. Put God at the center of discipling. Don't read, as helpful as books from different parenting gurus are. Build them as footnotes, not the main thing. Put the Bible-based discipleship. Put God's way of discipling, training up your child in the way they should go, as the front center of how you disciple your kids. Pray and ask God. Each child is unique and different. Yes. Some parents might have exceptional challenges and a heavier workload raising these children. But can I encourage everybody? These children were God's before they became yours. So you got to go to the source. You got to go and ask God, because guess what? My parenting is still inadequate. The way my parents parented me was inadequate. The way my grandparents parented my parents was inadequate. The way this culture is trying to shape us to parent our kids is inadequate. So we must keep God as the first, second, third, and last item on the menu. Otherwise, the kids who are so intelligent and so bright, they will think, okay, God is just one of the things that I do, like brushing my teeth in the morning and brushing my teeth at night. I'm not thinking about it the rest of the day. So the one key thing that we have done is put God in the center. When we talk about behavioral things that we observe, we talk about from God's point of view. When we talk about the challenges they're facing in school, we put God as center. When they are frightened, we talk about God. When they're feeling restless or anxious or not confident, in every circumstance, we are bringing God as the solution rather than us trying to shield them from a problem.
Wow, so good. We could dive into that topic for a long time. Yeah. Were you all keeping?
Parenting, yes.
Yeah, I love it. I think they talk about us being like, obviously a generation with this generation, I think of kids in like Gen A, but having the most information available to them ever.
Yep.
And when the most...
Yes, and they're anxious. Like, I know for my child, my firstborn, she started talking. She had anxiety from the issues of, for example, climate change that they were speaking in school and talking about how the earth will come to an end and how everybody will die and everything will die. So, I mean, is that information good and valid? That's not the point. The result is that they have become anxious to the point of fearing death and destruction. So how do I navigate that? I can't inflict my climate ideology on my kids. Rather, I took them to the Word of God and said, well, this is what Jesus said, and this is what God's perspective is. Yes, we have to be good stewards of this, but cast your cares on Jesus. Take all of that anxiety. It doesn't belong in your little body. And give it to God, you know.
So good. I love your girls. They're amazing.
They
teach me a lot. Just watching how they worship on Sunday, I feel like I see a different face of Jesus, even just in their worship.
Great.
All right, we're going to change gears a little bit, and I just want to ask you about prayer and fasting, because that is what we're in. We're in a season of prayer and fasting.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have an example maybe to share from your life, Pastor Joe, of where prayer and fasting has actually helped you grow in an awareness of the presence of God?
Absolutely. June 2019.
I love that you know the dates. It's awesome.
Well, this is... disclaimer, guys. Disclaimer. I may have had a sneak peek at some of the questions beforehand. So I wanted to make it as impactful for the listener, so I jotted down some points. Yes, I did. After all, I am the shepherd.
Yes.
June 2019 was a moment of crisis for us as a family. We had paid a deposit for a house, and it looked like some things were not factored by you know, before we put the deposit. We're very radical like that. We just felt like buying a house and we just put a deposit without factoring out other things. Like we are not permanent residents. We were not permanent residents of Australia, which meant there was a real threat of us losing our entire life savings. And it was tied to our residency here. There were a few other issues, big mountain issues in our life. And in the middle of all of this and, you know, almost licking my wounds of, you know, have I committed my family's finances to a complete loss? I tried all human approaches. I met the best brokers, the banks. We went to multiple banks. We tried all the options. And then at the start of June 2019, I had this great idea. Well, I didn't make prayer and fasting my first response. I made it my last resort. So now that it is the last resort, well, I'll be really faithful and committed to it. So I went on a 21-day fast. And the truth is that our permanent residency in the history, for those of you who have migrated to this nation, this would blow your minds. We had our permanent residency approved in 18 days. Yes, I will repeat that again. Our permanent residency paperwork was approved in 18 days when we were told it is a 14 to 18 month process. What that led to is us not losing our life savings on this house because all the paperwork connected to the bank, et cetera, et cetera. Not only that, in those 21 days, God answered 21 different prayer points in our life. And so at the end of that, back then it was known as close the season. Yeah. And at the end of that 21 days, my wife and I sat and brought, for every day there was a breakthrough. Every day brought a breakthrough. And it's at that point when I recognize, man, prayer and fasting actually works. Because I always get tripped up about fasting. I don't mind prayer. I like prayer. Fasting, maybe not. I'm a foodie, guys.
I have had some good food.
Yes. So what that led to is actually understanding it's not a hunger strike that catches God's attention. Yes. I've been able to divert fueling myself naturally and setting that time apart, which is very precious time. Think about it. You don't eat casual meals, do you? You might maybe for breakfast, but dinner, there is thought and design behind dinner.
Yes.
There is purchasing, there's money set apart, there's coming together. So when we set that prime time apart for God and focusing and denying ourselves and saying, God, you see our hearts, you know, and sometimes fasting would look like, maybe it's just going to be cheese and toast. But I'm going to take the big chunk of my prime time tonight to actually spend at Jesus' feet. And that opened a massive understanding, a gateway of learning for me to understand that it's actually not my hunger strike or this kind of, you know, I'm starving for Jesus that is catching God's attention, because that would make him a abusive father. But the heart of God is when we are diverting our time, our most precious time, towards seeking his face, then God is compelled into action. Heaven's resources are dispatched to us. And there is something about it. Do I know the formula? Nope.
No.
But Jesus said it works. It worked. It worked for us.
Yes.
And it continues to work. Yes. We're like, tell me why.
Yeah. Tell me why. How does it work? And that's just control. We want to be in control. So that's a lordship issue of our life when we default to those things. But I love how you were saying a few things I love about that testimony. Firstly, I think when we're, you know, an increase in the presence of God in our lives can look like a great many things. It can look like transformation into Christ-likeness.
Mm-hmm.
It can look like, you know, just experiencing the closeness of God in a deeper way.
That's it.
Or it can look like breakthrough. And with the breakthrough that you're talking about, practical things, a revelation of the kingdom of heaven.
And the heart of God.
Yeah, and the heart of the Father for you guys. And I love that you talk about stewarding. You wrote down what God had done.
Yep.
Because I think the stewardship of our testimony is actually a key to experiencing the greater, more of the presence of God. Because I feel like sometimes when we don't take time to reflect, and we just rush past things, or we're like, oh, that's great. And we don't actually see the fullness. We don't recognize the fullness. We're not aware of the fullness of what the presence of, like, what God has done or where his presence has even been. So I love prayers like the examine prayer, or even moments of journaling and reflection, whether it's at the end of the day or the end of the week, where we look back and actually ask the Holy, invite the Holy Spirit in. Because I heard even when you were saying, oh yeah, like we started to write down and we realized, like when we sat to
testimony.
When we sat to actually acknowledge, okay, God, like you we're going to acknowledge like where your presence has been, that in this case has brought breakthrough.
Yep.
Just that simple act of journaling or like writing down testimonies, that is actually a huge, I guess, if we're thinking practical things for people listening, it can be a really practical way to increase your awareness of his presence in your life.
And right now as a team, the pastoral team, we're reading through a book, Smith Wigglesworth, Ever Increasing Faith. So one of the things is everybody has a great deal of respect for this man, right? He wasn't highly educated or anything, but one of the key levers that he used to move every time he ministered is he would remind himself of how God had moved in similar circumstances. So he would allow himself to land on God's page, and he would force himself to get on God's page. And that became the key platform from where he saw miracles break out. And so even for us, why I wrote June 2019 is obviously to bring the listener to a place in history where we experience a tangible move and hand of God. And from that point on, over the last 5 years, it would propel us every time of need, every crisis. It would make us remind ourselves, remember how God moved in June 2019? And that was key, because a few months later, we had this little thing called COVID-19, this little thing. And when we went through, and when we went through it, we were reminded God is good. Like my wife found out on the media, via the media, that there's going to be mass layoffs in her company before even her bosses announced it. And then 30 minutes later, they had a online town hall where they said, by 6 p.m. tonight, if you don't receive an email, then your job is secure. Between 2 p.m. and 6 p.m., 850 people got laid off. And there was a lot of anxiety. And in the midst of that anxiety, and my wife kept checking her email till 9 p.m. that night. But in the midst of that anxiety, there was a part of our heart that said, reminding ourselves, remember how God moved 6 months ago? Yes. So I just want to take and capture your imagination to that place where feelings were real. The fears were real. But in the last 5 years, we've seen an ever-increasing faith, even in our own lives, to face the uncertain.
It reminds me of like where Joshua passes over and he stops partway through, and he creates like, takes stones and creates like a memorial to God, so that for the generations to come, they would remember. And a friend of mine, actually, she was telling me that in her Outlook calendar for work, she calls it like a memory stone, and she creates like an event in her Outlook calendar that replicates every year. She's like, 2022, the Lord, this is what the Lord did in my life. So every year in her Outlook calendar, every day she has something that the Lord has done for her. How incredible is that?
Yep.
So she's created this like Joshua-like kind of,
memorial stone.
In her Outlook calendar. I thought, my gosh, like, how much more would we be aware of the presence of God in our life in general if every day when you opened your Outlook calendar at work, the first thing that popped up was like, remember what God did in 2019. Yep. Remember what God did in 2016. Yep. Remember what God did. My gosh.
It keeps topping up your faith. Yeah. But the other thing is it keeps entitlement at bay. It'll keep entitlement at bay, because then you'll recognize that when I was weak, when I was in the dumps, God visited me and brought this massive breakthrough.
Yeah. Yep. Yes. Amen. Okay, Pastor Joe, we could talk all day.
And I love talking to you guys. You guys are the best.
So I wonder if you could just pray for us, for all of us who are listening, before we wrap up.
Awesome. I would love
whatever is on your heart, we would love to hear it. Thank you, Jesus.
Awesome. Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. Regardless of time and space and city, or circumstance where these beloved brothers and sisters of ours, they're tuning in right now. God, we ask that you are not bound by time, city, or space, or circumstance. You're there with them right now in this very moment. Whether they're listening to this in the middle of a crisis, or whether they're listening to this at the very mountaintop, God, you are the Lord of all seasons and Lord of all circumstances. Together we come in one accord and we pray for peace to guard their hearts. Lord, I pray that there would be an open divine invitation for them to experience you like never before. That your words would ring clearer, that your heart would become even more clearer in their lives, Lord. And this great invitation would lead them to pleasant places. Father, we read in the scriptures that even in the middle of the wilderness, in the desolate place, God, you're drawing people to reveal your heart. And so, God, I pray that right now to every listener, your heart is for them. Your plans and your promises for them are secure. They are immovable, unshakable. And God, your heart for them is not changing in seasons and circumstances. So now, Lord, even in this time of consecration, thank you, God, that consecration isn't a calendar event, but it is a daily invitation to deny ourselves, pick up the cross and follow you. So even at this moment, God, I pray, Pastor Aaron and myself, we pray and bless these listeners, our brothers and sisters. We pray that God's mercy would shine upon them wherever they are, whatever they find themselves in. You would reach out to them like a mighty rushing wind, like a mighty wave that cannot be stopped. And so, God, I pray for peace and I pray for the heart of God to be revealed to them. Bless them, Lord, with every good and perfect blessing that comes from heaven above. And we pray, Lord, that just as we are partnering and sharing life stories and encounters we have had in Christ, I pray, Lord, every single listener to this podcast would be filled and become rich with God history, with history in Jesus, that they would go from places of deficit to places of overflow and surplus. Everywhere they go with people they meet, be random strangers in the streets, or neighbors they have known for decades, or family members who've been distant for years and years. God, I pray that their rich history in God would influence and draw people unto Christ. So we thank you that your kingdom is here, your kingdom is now, and it is advancing. We bless them in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Joe, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's been such a great honor and privilege to be here.
Sorry, it really has been a lot of fun. And thank you to everyone who's joined us today on the podcast. And just want to remind you at the very end, in case you have forgotten or in case you have not accessed it yet, we have a prayer and fasting toolkit.
Wonderful.
With a prayer practice for each day of prayer and fasting that can help you and your family and your little ones connect with an awareness of the presence of God in your life. If you haven't downloaded it yet, I can highly recommend jumping on the website.
Do it.
Find it.
Just
yes,
do it.
You can find it on the Jet Center app or on Instagram as well. We also want to hear your testimony. We loved hearing, Pastor Joe's testimony and the different guests that we've had, but we really want to hear your testimony. We want to hear about what the Lord has been doing amongst us as a whole family. No matter where you find yourself listening to this podcast, how amazing to hear what the Lord's doing in Thailand, what the Lord's doing in the States, what the Lord's doing in the Sunshine Coast or in Perth. We want to hear it all. So you can do that by DMing us on Instagram or also by sharing your testimony on our website, which is newmark.church/pray. That is it, guys. Thank you for joining us and we'll see you again tomorrow. Bye.
See ya. Bye.